1540 Zetton is one in Nassau. The time now is 8 o'clock. Time now for Turning Point Live, right here in the National Voice. AM 1540 Zetton is one in Nassau.
Covering the entire Bahamas.
1540 Radio.
This is AM 1540 in Nassau.
Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool.
Let us pray. Our kind Heavenly Father, once again, you've given us an opportunity to speak to the nation of your people tonight. Right now, we ask for a double portion of your Holy Spirit, not only upon the lives of the members of Turning Point Ministry, but the lives of your people in radio land tonight. As this program goes forth tonight, Father, we pray that you'll be uplifted in everything we should do and say. And at the end of this show tonight, Father, we pray that those that are listening in radio land but begin to search the scriptures to see whether they're in the faith. We pray, Father, that with all is said and done, that people will understand that this world is wrapping up. It's time for us to go home to be with you. But before we do that, our lives need to be in order. So once again, Father, we pray for your spirit. We pray for forgiveness of sins and clear minds. And when all is said and done, Father, we pray that we have done everything you've asked us to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Good evening, and welcome to Turning Point, a program presented by Turning Point Ministries. And this afternoon, this evening, as a matter of fact, we at Turning Point will be having a two-hour call-in show. It would be commercial-free, so feel free to call in. But before I give out the numbers, we're going to just go through a few things here while we're here this afternoon in the studio. Our topic this afternoon is the seventh-day Sabbath. Is it Saturday, Sunday, or any day? The seventh-day Sabbath. Is it Saturday, Sunday, or any day? Brother Paul, before we get into our program this afternoon, could you give us introduce yourself and give us a brief history of Turning Point?
Thank you much, Brother Julian. Once again, good night, Bahamas. My name is Paul Miller. 4 years ago, and the Lord impressed upon my heart to start a program called Turning Point Ministries. The program is a faith-based ministry. We are self-supported. We are not seeking to try to start a church. We are all members of the Seventh Adventist Church. We were not paid for nor sent for by the Seventh Adventist Church. We are paid and sent for by our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. How the program got started, I just wanted to share with the nation some concepts that are written in the Word of God. And what happened is when I came to ZNS said the spots are available. The quicker you pay, the better it will be for you. When I returned back to my store, Brother Julian was there, and he said, "Man, I'd like to come on board. Don't leave me out." So Brother Julian came on board. My sister Marlene, who's right now living in New York, who also came on board with us at the first starting off, she decided too that we would come on the program. So the first 3 or 4 years, we were doing a concept of health programs and also spiritual concepts with the nation. And a lot of people have been blessed through the years. And tonight, as we continue to share the Word of God with the nation of the Bahamas and around the world, we pray that whatever is shared here will be one to help you understand what's going on in the Christian community today.
Brother Paul, why have you decided to talk about the Sabbath this afternoon? I know throughout the 7 years we never talk about the Sabbath, but why this evening you decided to go with the Sabbath?
Well, Brother Jones, I speak to people from all different walks of life. They don't know exactly how the Sabbath came all about. A lot of people have all sorts of strange concepts. And what happened is our previous 7 call-in shows that we had here at ZNS, people will always question us about the Sabbath day. A lot of people accuse us of only like to be talking only about the Sabbath day. But if that is true, the question I have for them is, why we made a whole 7 shows just to talk about it now? The last call show we have at ZNS just last month, we had a few callers that began to question us on the Sabbath day. Our topic for that night was an open show. It was open mic, as a matter of fact. And we told them whatever they want to talk about, that's what we began to talk about. And right into the get off of the show, maybe 30 minutes or so into the show, people began to start questioning us for the holy Sabbath day. At that moment, we decided that what we would do on our next live call-in show, we would discuss the nation, what is the truth about the Sabbath? Does it really matter? Is it really a part of the Ten Commandments still? And here we are tonight, fulfilling that promise to our listeners.
Ladies and gentlemen, you can join us here on the program, this program this afternoon, presented by Turning Point. And the question we have this afternoon is, the seventh-day Sabbath, is it Saturday, Sunday, or any day? And we'd like to take questions right from the jump or comments. this afternoon. If you want to reach us here in Nassau, you could reach us at 325-5403 or 325-5404 or 325-5405. For our listeners in the family of islands, you can reach us toll-free. That means you don't have to pay for it. That's 1-242-300-8255. But before I go on, let me let persons know that you can reach us at Turning Point Ministries at go into our website at www.turningpoint.org. Or our email address is tpministries@hotmail.com. Or for whatever reason you want to call us offline, you want to call us during the week or tomorrow evening, you could reach us at 322-6273. And regularly on Sunday afternoons at 2 p.m., we have a regular half-hour show on the same station, 1540, where we present different topics every week. Now, Brother Paul, you said that their persons have different concepts of the Sabbath. Could you share a few of those concepts that you've heard persons talked about in the past?
Well, just today at the Nassau Guardian, I had a young man told me that he's going to call the show tonight. He said that every day is holy. Any day could be the Sabbath day. But I told him, I said, when you call, that concept has been floating around for hundreds of years since this confusion came about. And I told him, by all means, when you call to speak to the nation, make sure you have a scripture to back up that concept. There are a whole lot of people will tell you, yes, Saturday is the Sabbath, but you can keep any day. God will understand. It has been, you know, God is not that concerned. And normally I would say to them, if that is true, then how would you answer the complaint that Cain would not be in heaven simply because the Lord told him to bring fruits, to bring an animal, but he decided he would bring fruits. So there are a whole lot of strange concepts that are there. Even ministers of the gospel will admit that Saturday is the Sabbath, but when you ask them for a reason, why do they keep Sunday, they have no answer for you. So in some strange way, they believe that God is going to work some magical stick and he is going to let them enter into the kingdom of heaven. So tonight, we're going to try to set the record straight, and we're going to share with you concepts based on the Bible, church history, and world history. And by all means, we hope that you will study these concepts to true, to see if they're true. And if they are, by all means, we need to ask for the strength of the Lord to walk in the light, as he is always in the light.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have I guess you could call it a surprise caller. We have Marlene McKinney online from Long Island, New York. And for some of you who have been regular listening to our show would know that Mrs. McKinney was responsible for giving the health tips and also responsible for our health extravaganza. But she and her husband and family are now living in New York. And we just want to welcome Marlene and see what she has to say to us and the nation this afternoon. Good afternoon, Marlene.
Good afternoon. How are y'all?
You're fine.
I can hardly hear you, but I guess the audience can hear me quite well.
Yes.
Okay. How's everyone doing back there at home?
Everybody's doing fine.
That's great. I just thought I would call in. Every time you guys have a call-in show, I seem to miss it. And today, Selma and I were talking, and she said, you know, they're going to have a live show. I said, well, let me just at least call in and say hello to the Bahamian people. I miss them so much. I miss being on the program. And, of course, I miss having the extravaganzas. And I'd love to have one in December. We'd love to work on that if y'all are willing to work with me.
We'll see what we can do.
We'll see what we can do. You know, I'm here in Long Island, New York, and I'm still doing the work of the Lord here. I had the beautiful opportunity to meet a young lady by the name of Alicia, and she has a TV program called Long Island with Alicia, and I am scheduled to be on that TV program to do a one-hour program where I will be teaching the people of Long Island, New York how to eat healthy foods. And in my conversation with her about the about my desire to be on her TV program, she was really interested in the Sabbath. And I think it's so interesting that today you're talking about the Sabbath. Now, she's not a Seventh-day Adventist, and maybe not even a Christian, but she says from time to time she visits our churches, and she's very, very, interested in the Sabbath. And she wanted to know, what's this Sabbath thing all about? And I think what really got her was the fact that I could go on her TV show for $50 and she could record me at her studio on a Sabbath for for $50. But I told her, I said, well, I can't do that because, you know, Sabbath is so sacred. Sabbath is special. Sabbath has been set apart. It is a holy day. It's a day when we should not be thinking about work. We should not be concerned about the cares of this life or any of those types of things. We should really be concerned about our relationship with Christ and spending that time with him and fellowshipping with Christ, you know. And she was so enthused about the little that I told her that she says, wow, you make Sabbath sound like it's such a delight. I say, it is, you know. And she was really, really happy with the information I shared with her, to the point that when I now call her, the first thing she says is, oh, that's Marlene, that's my Seventh-day Adventist friend, you know. So I think the world is more than ready to accept the Sabbath. I think it takes bold steps, and I think that we as a people need to realize that it's time for us to stand up and be different and be peculiar. We should not wait for our friends to join us. We should not wait even for our husbands or our wives, our spouse, our children. We should be able to, we should want to make a stand for Christ, and we should want to do that no matter who's on our side, knowing that Christ is, you know, standing firm with us in our beliefs.
Thank you very much, Marlene.
Thank you very much, Marlene. And ladies and gentlemen, if you want to join us here at Turning Point Program, please call us at 325-5403 or 325-5404 or 325-5405. Or you could reach us from the Family Violence toll-free at 1-242-300-8255. And the question we have this afternoon is, the Seventh-day Sabbath, is it Saturday, Sunday, or any day? But Paul, I have one question for you this afternoon. My first question to you this afternoon is the commandment still binding on Christians today?
Yes, it is, Brother Julian. As a matter of fact, even the government of the world believes that the commandments are still binding, because most of the government laws that we have intact, even those that we use in the courts, are actually from the Ten Commandments. And if the law, the Apostle Paul put it best, the Apostle Paul said, if there's no law, then there's no sin. So if there's no law, then what do we have to accuse each other of doing wrong? Jesus also says through the Apostle Paul in Romans that the wages of sin is still death. As a matter of fact, you and I had an opportunity to talk to a lot of Christian brothers and sisters, even some pastors, and we would post them the question, what is sin? For some strange reason, they would never want to quote what the Bible says. And 1 John chapter 3, verse 4 says, whosoever commits sin transgress also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. Then Jesus tells us in John 14:15, he says, if you love me, keep my commandments. I like the way Jesus put it. He didn't say, you better, I'm going to force you. He says, if you love me, meaning that it's a condition. If you want to do it, I'm going to empower you to do it. That's another good thing about Jesus. And this is the reason why we accept Christ as our personal Savior. He comes and lives his life out in us. We surrender our lives to him, and he lived the commandments out in us and through us. Jesus also says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 19, the time will come and there will be people teaching people to break the commandments of God. And he says, whosoever therefore shall break one of the least of these commandments, or shall teach men so, he should be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, they should be called great in the kingdom of heaven. That's Matthew chapter 5, verse 19. Then Jesus knew that the time will come and men will say that the law was done away with. And it was 17, he answered that question. He said, think not that I've come to destroy the law or the prophets. I've not come to destroy them, but to fulfill. So Christ tells you from Genesis to Revelation, is in a nutshell, deals with the testimony of Jesus Christ. The law, Ten Commandments in Exodus chapter 20, reveals the sin factor. And it's only when we rely on the scriptures that we can see where the power comes from for us to keep God's moral law. And that power comes from Jesus Christ himself.
Brother Paul, we have I guess you could say our second or first caller, depending on how you want to say it. But ladies and gentlemen, if you want to join us here, the question this afternoon is, the Seventh-day Sabbath, is it Saturday, Sunday, or any day? You can join us at 325-5403 or 325-5405 or 325-5404. Or for our listeners in the families of Ireland, you can reach us toll-free at 1-242-300-8255. Okay, Brother Mark, go ahead.
Hey, good evening to you.
Good evening, Brother.
One's blessing. Well, I found the islands and tell you for a fact, it was changed way back in some years. There's one highfalutin church that just actually exercise their muscles. And, yeah, it's in the history books. But that's neither here nor there. It's Saturday.
So you say, so you're saying that the seventh day Sabbath is Saturday?
It is Saturday. It was just changed way back in the day, being they had all those little raids to figure out who was witches, and, you know, that's way back into people will not believe. But not only that, here's another one. Whether or not the Sabbath is honored is up to your own soul, because the king says straight and plain, he'll just judge you as you are. But you must keep the Sabbath day. You must keep the Sabbath day. Because he himself, being the redeemer of the world, saved and changed lives on the Sabbath day. And the Sanhedrin and all the little dorks who was after him, they got to him. But then guess what? The winning part was that he changed it all. I'm not into, how do I say this, religious fights. But if you read it and you understand it, it's totally true. Saturday is the Sabbath. Sunday is the first. That's been that from when they thought were millions of gods up in the air. But now it's just like back to Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, blah, blah, blah. Saturday, last day. Sabbath day.
All right. Thank you very much, Brother Mark.
Okay, good night.
All right, good night. Ladies and gentlemen, you could join us here. We'll be glad to hear your questions or comments on the topic. The seventh-day Sabbath, is it Saturday, Sunday, or any day? You can join us at 325-5403 or 325-5404 or 325-5405. Or for you who are listening in the family of islands, Long Island, Eleuthera, Exuma, Freeport, wherever, you could call us toll-free at 1-242-300-8255. Brother Paul, you said that the commandments are still binding on Christians today, and you gave us some scripture. But my next question to you is the Sabbath day a part of the commandment?
Yes, it is. As a matter of fact, it's the fourth commandment. And for some strange reason, here again, most ministers of the gospel will focus on none of the commandments, but they will always omit the fourth. And only when they add the fourth, they will add the fourth with a bypass. They'll try to find some reason why it's okay for you to worship on Sunday and not actually the seventh day, which is the first day. But the question I have for most ministers and most members is, if Christ take you to heaven breaking the fourth commandment, putting Sunday in place of the seventh, then how is he going to deal with Cain, who just brought some fruits when he was actually told to bring a sacrifice of an animal? How is he going to deal with Lot's wife, who just looked back and turned into a pillar of salt? How is he going to deal with Judas, who only sold it for 30 pieces of silver? These are questions we need to ask ourselves. There's no sin that is greater than the other. Sin is still the transgression of God's law. The Sabbath commandment is going to be the commandment that is going to be dealt with at the end of time. Just before Pope John Paul died, he wrote a letter called On Keeping the Lord's Day Holy. And in that letter, on point 67 of that letter, you will see where he called for civil legislation should be passed in order to keep Sunday holy. There's also another letter that was quoted by a newspaper company, I don't have it with me tonight, where one religious leader said that all who don't keep the Sabbath day holy should be treated as a heretic. And we all know the heretic means that you should be killed if they don't decide to keep Sunday holy. The book of Revelation chapter 13 tells the time will come and men will force people to do right. And if they don't, they will be killed. So the world is being prepared. And when you see all of these people going around with all these different petitions, Brother Julian, saying that sign this petition and sign that petition, well, it's just one step closer to signing the petition that we're going to enforce this law to be obeyed. And when this law is being forced upon the people to be obeyed, Sunday is going to be the official day of worship. And we can see it being built up. As a matter of fact, just before the Ephraim power went out of their power reign of reigning the government, religious leaders went to our former Prime Minister, Mr. Hubert Ingraham, trying to get a law passed then to enforce Sunday to keep it holy, that all of the stores should be shut down. And our brother Hubert Ingraham, our former Prime Minister, Honorable Hubert Ingraham, under the unction of the Holy Ghost, told them no. You see, because God does not want to force anyone for us to serve him. Christ knows exactly what we're going to do when we leave here tonight. And if he wants us not to sin, he can easily break our legs or cause us to crash into a lamp pole. But because of his love for us, he allows us to run our course. And before we know it, we find ourselves on the outside of the kingdom, dying in our sins.
We go right back to the phones now. Go ahead, caller. What's your question?
Hi, good night. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine, sir.
All right, all right. Yes, I'm a local pastor in here in the capital, and I overheard something on your show yesterday, and I'd like to just make a statement and ask a question. Your question was that is Saturday the Sabbath day or the day of worship or Sunday? I stand to be corrected. Now, my question is basically, are we speaking in terms of the commonwealth of the Jews, or are we speaking in terms of the Bible addressing Jews and Gentiles?
Well, the question really is to all Christians today. The question is the seventh day Sabbath. Is it Saturday, Sunday, or any day? And we're basically referring to those of us today in 2006 who's call ourselves Christian. What day is the seventh day? Because there has been some question about that. And all things pertaining to the Sabbath, is it still binding on Christians today? It's still binding on us today. Are we required to keep the seventh day holy? Which day is the seventh day?
That's basically my question to you, because I heard, or the Baptists, I heard about this and that and the next, and my concern is that we don't divide, but we try to heal all those who name the name of Christ. You see, and many pastors may not call because they might be offended of the names being called in terms of the denominational names, like the Baptist or Church of God, or whatever you are, Catholic, Pentecostal. In the Bahamas, our constitution stands out. And I think that's the bottom line for the government. Our constitution stands out in what we believe. Now, as an independent church, we choose to use whatever denominational reasons as to why we worship the way we worship.
Based on what?
Well, basically, like the Seventh-day Adventists, to me, the scriptures clearly teach us that it was a teaching to do with the Jews.
Based on what scripture? What scripture are you using?
The Sabbath day and the laws.
No, but what scripture are you using that said the Sabbath day was dedicated strictly to the Jews? Can you give us a scripture?
Basically, when you compare the New Testament, and then you know, I don't have all night.
We can hang up on you, and then you can call back. See, the scripture is very important, because a lot of ministers try to tell us that the Sabbath was made for the Jews. And the Bible said the Sabbath was made for man.
But I can give you clarity on that. That's what I'm saying.
Okay, why don't you share with the nation while you're online how Sunday became the popular day of worship? Can you share that with the nation for us in a minute or so?
Well, basically, what I've heard from the Seventh-day Adventists is that it has been, what's the name of the emperor or the king who at
Emperor
that time...
Constantine? Are you referring to Emperor Constantine?
Constantine, that's the name of that. That's the person that I'm talking about. But when I study the history of that, the early church began earlier, in the first century, because Constantine didn't start out in the first century.
So are you saying Constantine? Are you saying the Apostle Paul was alive before Constantine?
No, I'm saying that the Bible speaks clearly of the day of resurrection of Christ, which is the central column of the church. Church held in high esteem. The church held in high esteem the resurrection of Christ. Remember, Paul made a statement, and he said, if Christ be not risen, then we be all men most miserable. That, if I can quote that to you. So the church held in high esteem.
Pastor. You are still not sharing with the nation how Sunday became the proper day of worship. The disciples did not change the Sabbath.
We just said it was a common practice that they went about breaking bread, house to house, and praying and worshiping,
Pastor,
on the first day of the week.
Pastor, I sure you would agree with me that Jesus introduced the communion service to his disciples before he left. And Jesus told his disciples, as often as you keep the communion service, you must do this in remembrance of me. Now, notice carefully. You're not keeping the communion on the Sabbath day. you doing it in honor and resurrection, and thank you on our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's very important, Pastor. The whole nation is listening to you, so don't use the scriptures out of this context. We are discussing the Sabbath day. We are not discussing the breaking of bread. No, we are not discussing the collection of offerings. We are discussing the Sabbath day. So if you're going to speak to the nation, the whole world is listening. Are you telling us the Roman Catholic Church did not do what they said they did? That's you telling us, sir? Pastor?
Hello? He was calling from a cell phone, so maybe his cell phone dropped out of
him. You can feel free to call back, Pastor.
As he was changing cells. But you could call back, Pastor. And when you call back, please give us that text. So we here in the studio and those of our listeners who are listening around the Bahamas could search that scripture. Brother Paul, I wanted you to do, my next question to you is, where can we find these commandments that you say is important and the Sabbath is part of it?
In Exodus chapter 20, Brother Julian, if you go to Exodus chapter 20, James says in James chapter 2, if we should break one of these commandments, we are breaking all of them. It's just amazing that most ministers of the gospel will try to use scriptures that are not a part of the conversation to try to justify keeping Sunday. The breaking of bread has nothing to do with the Sabbath day. The collecting of offerings has nothing to do with the Sabbath day. The Bible says the Apostle Paul went through the whole city preaching the Sabbath day in his day. As a matter of fact, one day when they preached the gospel, almost the whole Sabbath, almost the whole town, I should have said, came to hear them preach on that Sabbath day. And the people in that day wanted to hear more of the Sabbath day. It's very important, brothers and sisters, that when you are studying a concept, and all good Bible students know that if you are studying a concept on the Sabbath, you look up all the texts dealing with the Sabbath. You don't look up the texts dealing with breaking of bread. All good Bible students know if you're dealing with the topic of sin, you deal with look up all the Bible texts dealing with sin. If you're dealing with homosexuality, you look up all the texts dealing with homosexuality. You don't bring scriptures into the mix that have nothing to do with the concept that you're studying. It's the same thing when I'm working on the cars. There are four major things that make an engine on the car run. And if any of them are lacking, the engine will not run. That's induction, compression, power, and exhaust. And if any of those are shut off, the engine ain't going nowhere. It's the same thing with spiritual matters. The commandments are here forever. As a matter of fact, Jeremiah chapter 31, Jesus says, this law is now written on the tables of our heart. But when you meet people, they try to come up with all kinds of concepts why the Sabbath day don't have to be Saturday. It can be Sunday or it can be any day. Well, the Roman Catholic Church said they did it. And it was a fulfillment of Daniel chapter 7, verse 25. And tonight, the pastor that just called, he said that the Seventh Adventist Church said, well, he need to go and investigate and see if they were correct. Because if they were correct and he don't take the time to study, then he's going to be in problem in the judgment. And then, if he has studied that the Seventh Adventist Church is wrong, then he need to go and sit down with the Seventh Adventist leadership and show them where they are wrong. Because if he don't, Ezekiel 32 said that him and the Seventh Adventist ministers will be lost. That's the gospel. Ezekiel 33 is perfectly clear. And if the members of Turning Point are sharing concepts that are not true, then they need to come sit down with us. If not, we ought to be shaking hands and held together.
But Paul, when we come back after this call, I'd like you to show us that text in Ezekiel that refers exactly to that. We have another call on the line. Go ahead, Brother Mark.
How's it going?
It's going fine,
sir. Yeah, sorry to be calling right back again, but yes, it was the Catholic State that changed it. I didn't want to say it first off, but I ain't scared of nothing. When the King ready for me to go, I'll go.
Yes, sir.
But I have to walk the walk and talk the talk as I have to live, because I have to live because I am going to live again.
Don't be...
You know why? I'll tell you why. You have to live in peace. We have to get our country, our archipelago, back together. I'm not going to say this, not going to take over the whole show, but you're going to take a break in a couple minutes, but let me say it like this.
Go ahead.
You have to take care of our own. This is our blessings. This is our own. Now, not only that, if you don't go back to the basics of what our grandparents had, which was walking it, as well as you can talk it, then I'm sorry we're lost. But we're not going to be lost. There's still some out here that is doing something. Blessings.
Thank you, Brother Mark. You and your family, y'all, continue to stand on the Word of God and don't be afraid to share the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Of course, very true.
All right, thank you very much, Brother Ma. Ladies and gentlemen, if you want to join us here this afternoon, another call-in show by Turning Point. We go in until 10 p.m., no breaks, no commercials, just strictly talk. And our topic this afternoon is the seventh-day Sabbath. Is it Saturday, Sunday, or any day? What is your thought? What is your comment this afternoon? What is your question on the topic? If you want to reach us, you could call us at 325-5403 or 325-5404 or 325-5405. Or, for those of you living in the family violence, you can call us toll-free, which means you don't have to pay for the call. You could call us here at 1-242-300-8255. Brother Paul, you said the commandments is important. You showed us where the commandments was. You made a comment about Ezekiel. Can you share what that text is in Ezekiel exactly so our listeners could go and research and see what this text actually says? What text is that, sir?
In Ezekiel chapter 33, Brother Julian, it talks about from verse 6 to 11, it says, "But if the watchman see the sword come, and blow not the trumpet, and the people be not warned, if the sword come and take any portion among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, and his blood will require at the watchman's hand." So the Bible says, if the pastor, referring to the watchman now, see things coming that the Bible predicted will happen, and they don't say it, that means those people will be held accountable by the watchman. But the good news is, if the watchman, according to verse 7, shall warn the people, then the Bible says the watchman has freed himself, and then that person will die in their sins. That's Ezekiel chapter 33. The problem is, the watchmen don't want to go by the word of God. They want to go by the gospel according to their opinion. The Bible is quite clear. The Sabbath is going to be the deciding factor just before the world comes to an end. Pope John Paul II says, if the time should come when the legislation is passed, let the legislation pass. But see, does God want legislation? Does he want us to legislate morality? No. He wants each man to decide for himself whose side is he on. Is he on the Lord's side or is he on the devil's side? So tonight, we invite people to call and let us know. Is the commandment still important? Is the Sabbath day still important? Well, by all means, yes, it is. The Bible is clear with all the examples of it. And nowhere in the scriptures can no one accuse the Apostle Paul or any of the disciples of changing their worship from Saturday to Sunday. Because even the Apostle Paul himself said, Brother Julian, in Hebrews chapter 4, if Christ saw that it was a different day, would he not have spoken of it? So what's happening? I mean, this is not a trick, ladies and gentlemen. It was all predicted by our prophet Daniel in Daniel chapter 7, verse 25. Daniel said in Daniel chapter 7, verse 25, "And he shall speak good words against the Most High. And he shall weld the saints of the Most High. And he shall think to change times and laws. And they shall be given his hand till time, and dividing of times." Well, every good Bible scholar knows that he here refers to the papacy system, the Roman Catholic Church. Every good Bible scholar knows that the Roman Catholic Church still killed the saints of the Most High. Who are the saints? Revelation 14:12 tells you who are the saints. Here are the patrons of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and have the faith of Jesus Christ. Notice it didn't say have the faith in Jesus, but have the faith of Jesus, meaning that they were operating the same faith that Jesus himself operated with when he was here. And this is why Jesus can say when he walked among men that greater works we will do than he have done. Can you imagine that? Sinful creatures like you and I. And the Lord is going to empower us to do greater works than he did when he was here. Isn't that good news?
Very good news. We have another caller on line 5. Go ahead, caller.
Hello.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, okay. We're talking about the Sabbath, right?
Yes, sir.
What the word Sabbath mean?
The Sabbath means rest.
A day of rest, eh?
Yes, sir. On which day? Which day is that of rest?
I don't know.
Okay, in Exodus chapter 20.
It says, but 6 days shall you labor, and the seventh day you shall rest, right?
Amen, you said it correctly.
Yeah, but who named the days? How are we start to count the days?
All right, then we go right back to the Bible again. If you get your Bible and you read the account in Genesis chapter 1, you see where God made 6 days in the account of Genesis chapter 1. On each of those days, he said it was good. But now when you get to Genesis chapter 2, verse 1 to 3, you see where he made the seventh day, and he blessed it, he sanctified it, and he hallowed it.
And yeah, but which day is day one?
Which day is day one? Well, see,
one.
I know. This is another scripture people try to use in order to
work around.
I'm trying
to understand it.
Okay, we'll try our best to use the Bible to explain it to you. If you go to chapter 20,
let me tell you something. If it says right, the Sabbath day of rest, and then say the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. Because Jesus didn't pluck in anything on the Sabbath, and then he said, what he said?
When the Bible says that Jesus, when he said that Sabbath was made for man, that's exactly what it was made for. Our houses was made for us to live in. You agree?
Yeah.
And like the Sabbath, he said the Sabbath was made for man to enjoy. Now the commandment will tell us how we go about enjoying it. He said, 6 days you should labor and do all, but the 7 day is the Sabbath. Like, in it, you should not do any work. And the good news is the work is not done. You should not do no work, but your family members and your, and all those who work along with you. All yeah, should be enjoying the Sabbath rest.
Right?
Say it again, brother.
Hello.
Go ahead.
Now, the Bible, let me ask a question, right? The Bible, we would say inspired men, right?
Yes, sir.
Yes.
So, another question is, who translated the Bible?
Holy men of God. When you say translated, you mean from the...
From the Hebrew or from the Greek or whatever?
Well, according to historical records, they said King James did that. But okay, the question,
let me say something. Okay,
go ahead.
Okay, even in the Bible, they say, put not your trust in man, for the arms of flesh is filthy, but put on God, right?
Yes.
So the man, King James, now, might have been translating this in a way to suit themselves. I can hang up and listen.
That is true, that if you look at the translation, and there are many translations, et cetera, but if you want to take the word or the Bible as it is, yes, you could question if it was translated correctly and incorrectly, but I think that if you do a proper study with the aid of the Holy Spirit, you will realize that sufficient information has been given us in the Bible to ensure that we understand what God wants us to know. I think there's no doubt about that. I think if you read all the translations and study all the translations, you will see that there are some things that come through clear and clear. There are some things that come through clear and clear. So, you know, that to be honest with you, that the topic of is the Bible true, and if it's translations and all those kind of things, we really could deal on another show.
But what I like to say to the caller is this. A lot of people try to use this to try to justify living a sinful life. But normally I like to tell them there's only one section of the Bible says God wrote with his fingers, and that's the Ten Commandments. And he wrote them on tables of stone. Let's throw away all the Bible. And just take the Ten Commandments. You can't name one sin that those Ten Commandments don't point out. You see how powerful that is? Just 10, you know. And we have all kind of books downtown Nassau to deal with crime and violence. When they just take the Ten Commandments, and the Bible says if men allow those commandments to come alive in their life, all sin will cease. The police station can close down. All of us will be worshiping on the same day. But just like the Bible prophecy says, that's just how it's penned, and that's just how it's being played out. That God penned it, and it's being played out just like this with human beings. Jesus says, as it was in the days of Noah, so it should be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. Noah preached for 120 years, Brother Julian, and at the end of his 120-year crusade, 8 people got on the ark. Do you believe that?
Yep.
And that's the same way with us today. When people begin to talk to people about the Sabbath day commandment, they want to kick and fuss. They want to get mad with God. You can get mad with God. He still loves you. It's not our truth. Daniel penned it. It's being played out. The Roman Catholic Church said, hey, we did it. And the Roman Catholic Church says, and all who worship on Sunday are following us. As a matter of fact, the Roman Catholic Church is on a call to call all of the Baptists, all the Anglican, all the Methodists, all back in to into the Roman Catholic Church. And guess what? It's happening. You know how it's happening? Through the ecumenical movement, where ministers are crossing pulpits. There's a new concept that is going on in Christianity today. The concept is called, you rub my back, I rub yours. Is a concept of ministers of the gospel are using the piggyback of each other to make extra funds while people are starving for the truth as it is in Jesus Christ. Why do laymen have to come into the studio to tell the nation the truth about God's word? Why can't they be home, you know, with our families? Why do we have to come in here and share with the nation God's word still means what it says? But I have another quote here from Father Leo Bodrick, one of the most honest Catholic men that ever lived. And this is what he said. Perhaps the boldest thing and the most major change the church ever did happened in the first century. The holy day, he said, the Sabbath day was changed from Saturday to Sunday. The day of the Lord was chosen, he said. Not from any direct note from the scriptures, like the pastor just said. The guy said there's no scripture to show that it was changed from Saturday to Sunday, but from the church's sense of its own power. The day of the resurrection, the Pentecost, 50 days later, came the first day of the week. So this would be known as the new Sabbath. Listen to this statement, he said. And people who think the scripture should be the sole authority should logically become seven events and keep the Sabbath day holy. I didn't write that. Father Leo Bodrick wrote that. And the year he wrote it was May 21, 1995. But we'll quote that, and I assure you ministers have their churches packed on Sunday to try to discredit everything the Spirit of the Lord is saying here tonight. And like we told them over 4 years now, if we're wrong, I prefer to be off Zedness than to be telling them lies. If you all don't want to deal with us directly, then go to Mr. Anthony Foster. He's the general manager here. I say, these brothers are talking nonsense. You need to get them off the air because they're leading people to the kingdom of hell. And since we put our own disclaimer, we didn't wait for Zenith to put a disclaimer on us. We put out our own disclaimer that if we are teaching lies, get us off here. No one has contacted Zenith. They said, we are quoting lies on the Catholic Church, the Baptist, the Anglican. As a matter of fact, there are some ministers who I kid, and I don't know if I should name them all there, but there are some ministers who told me and Brother Julian privately that they keep the Sabbath day privately. One such minister is bragging about how well he is doing, Brother Julian. It breaks my heart. But he is still lying to his congregation that he's doing it, but he's keeping it privately. Think about it, ladies and gentlemen. Call me off and I'll tell you who that pastor is.
Brother Paul, you call a couple of churches' names, and I'm sure somebody's out there who might be a member of one of these denominations. Are you trying to attack their church or disparage their church in any way?
No, Brother Julian. If these people would just examine their own church's record, they will find these things would be said about their church in their church's records. The problem is people are so caught up in the emotionalism of Christianity today, they don't want to take the time out to see if what their church is teaching them is true. Study it true. That's what me and Brother Julian did, and Brother Renrick. We studied the true to see if what our church taught us is true. We were in council meeting speaking with our ministers, and they showed us that this is it, brothers. If you can show us that it's not right, we're willing to change too. But we have to buy into it. It's the truth. As a matter of fact, most of the members of the Seventh-day Adventist Church came from different denominations. And the Seventh-day Adventist Church is not a church built on emotions. It's built on the principle of God's word. Why do these people leave these churches where anything goes these days? The rock and roll, the speaking in tongues, the drama and all these bunch of stuff going on, I mean, to entertain people. Why? Because the Holy Ghost is leading men and women to the truth as it is in God's word.
Go ahead, Charles.
Good night. How y'all doing, sir?
You doing fine, sir.
Good. A very good show, and I like it, but you're talking on keeping the Sabbath, right?
Yes, go ahead.
So, look with me for a little while. You give a scripture on keeping the Sabbath. In Matthew chapter 13, that we'll find me talking. And you know when Jesus went through the cornfield, broke the corn on the Sabbath day,
yeah.
And he gave to his disciple and other things he did on the Sabbath day. And if you really study that scripture on keeping the Sabbath, then would say then he broke the law himself then. Is it Matthew 13, just in case? In Matthew 12, just in case you know where I'm coming from, or in Matthew chapter 12?
Okay.
So you can find it there, all who are listening can find it there, look at it then. Then you to go there to Mark chapter 2, 23, Mark chapter 2, 24, and you'll find it all there in the same scripture.
Before you go, Cole, I have a question for you.
Yes,
listen,
sir.
Listen carefully to what you said now. If Jesus broke the Sabbath, that means he sinned. You would agree?
If he sinned, no, he can't sin. No, I'm not agreeing.
Listen to the question again, Cole. Listen very carefully.
Okay.
If Jesus broke the Sabbath, based on what you said, that means he sinned, right?
No, don't get me wrong now. I said in the cornfield, he went to the cornfield on the Sabbath day.
Amen.
And he plucked the corn and gave his disciple.
Yes.
And then if he did this, then this is supposed to be the Sabbath day, right?
Yes.
And then if he do this, then this will bring word, and he will be broken the law.
Which law?
The Sabbath.
Where in the Sabbath commandment said you cannot eat?
Well, that's what I'm saying now. Well, when the Bible said that, if this would bring another part, sir. If then, if you do not, listen to me good now, if you do not keep the Sabbath, then you think this great God will send it to hell for not keeping the Sabbath, or you don't know what it is?
Well, the question concerning the Sabbath, and you talked about of Christ breaking the shucking the corn in on the Sabbath day.
Mm-hmm.
The question we have to ask ourselves is, what could we do on the Sabbath if that's the case? And if you, I'm sure in your studies you have come across the fact that the Jews at that time had a whole heap of laws dealing with the Sabbath and Sabbath alone. All right? As a matter of fact, they had a book called the Talmud, which dealt strictly with their additional laws.
True. And
according to them, it was wrong for Jesus to do what he did on the Sabbath. Am I correct?
According to their law, yeah.
According to their law.
Uh-huh.
But was it wrong according to the law of Jehovah God?
No.
No.
Amen.
So what Jesus was trying to show them, that they went to the other extreme.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Now,
yes, we want to go to the next extreme, in that we don't want to keep that day holy at all.
Amen.
So we're going from one extreme to the other. And the Bible is not the Bible of extremes.
No.
The Bible is a Bible of
of truth.
Truth.
And those things will help you. I think Timothy said it like this. All scripture was given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine,
mm-hmm,
for reproof, for instruction in righteousness, mm-hmm, that the man of God would be thoroughly furnished in all good work. So that story with Jesus in the cornfield only showed the Jews how they were so exacting on the Sabbath that they shouldn't be so exacting. Because Jesus went on to say, it is good to do good on the Sabbath.
Mm-hmm.
You understand that?
Well taken, sir.
Right. So Jesus was just trying to show them how they should keep the Sabbath day. That's all he was trying to do. He didn't. There's no indication that Jesus said, now that this day is unholy. Because if we go back to Genesis, it says that the Sabbath was blessed and hallowed.
Yes,
and there
sir?
Is no place in the Bible where the sanctity or the solemnity of Saturday was ever changed. There's no place. So the only day that the Bible specifically said that is holy is the seventh day Sabbath. And the question has to be asked, which day is the seventh day then?
Right.
And then once you figure that out, then you know which day to keep holy. You agree with me, caller?
I agree with you. Let me shoot a question across to you all. The question is then, on that day then, how would you determine Saturday or Sunday? Where you intellected one from?
Well, what we could do is, if you take your Bible.
Yes, I got it.
And turn to Luke.
Go ahead.
If you turn to Luke 24, right?
Mm-hmm.
No, stop on verse 23.
On Luke chapter 24.
Okay.
And I'm starting at verse 1.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And this is what verse 1 says. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they prepared, and Satan others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. Now we know, as good Bible students,
mm-hmm,
that refers to the day that Christ rose from the dead, right?
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. Now, which day, when it comes to Easter, does the majority of churches celebrate as Jesus raising on?
Which day?
Yes, which day?
On the Sabbath day.
No. Listen carefully, caller.
Uh-huh.
Which day does the majority of churches celebrate as the day in which Jesus rose from the dead?
Easter Monday.
Say it again?
Easter Monday.
If you pick Easter Monday, which history book are you reading that say they celebrate on Easter Monday? Can you share with the nation? If you need time, you can call back and get
it. I don't have the book of it, so I can't call because I don't have time, but you can tell me.
So what you're saying is that Jesus rose on Easter Monday, not Easter Sunday.
It was Sunday morning, so if it's Sunday, according to scripture, he was crucified on Good Friday or on Holy Thursday, put in the grave, then the day you got to be on Sunday.
Amen.
Okay, so if he raised on Sunday, and Luke 24 says, upon the first day of the week.
When is the first day of the week?
No. You celebrate Sunday, you said, as the day Jesus rose on, right?
Yes.
Right. So if Jesus rose on Sunday, which you say he rose on Sunday, not me, right? You say he rose on Sunday. Then which day then has to be the seventh day if Sunday is the first?
And Luke said, Brother Junior just read that Luke said that day was the first day of the week.
That's right.
And your calendar at home says Sunday is the first day of the week. Can you agree? All around the world, brother, it's Sunday is the first day. Now, the devil has done a round of thing here. The devil has come up with some business calendars where now Monday is the first day of the week. If you have anybody that work in the business community, they can tell you that they did not. The devil is now coming around and saying that Monday now is the first day of the week, and now Sunday is the seventh day of the week. But we know better than that. We're much more educated than that to let the devil pull that fast one on us. So the account is in the Bible, and every minister of the gospel know, brothers and sisters, that what we are telling you is the gospel truth. And like we tell them before, and we'll tell them again, if you're lying, please do all you could to get us out of that nest. Let the people know we are lying and bring the facts. Because if you don't, whenever the prime minister, we come out of office, we're going to hire him to be our lawyers. And we're going to be rich. Because I know all courts in the Bahamas go on the facts. And the facts will state that the members of Turning Point is true. They are quoting facts that are biblical. They are quoting facts that are historical. And they are also quoting facts that are on church records. Every church, as a matter of fact, you go to our website, www.tpministries, we have comments from just about every church on the face of the earth. And they all agree with the members here on Turning Point that Saturday is the Sabbath, but they always give a but. And that but is going to cause us to be lost. That but is going to cause us to be in hell with the devil and his angels. Think about it, ladies and gentlemen. Time is running out.
Thank you very much, caller. We appreciate that. Now we go to McKinney on line 3. McKinney, go ahead.
Yes, I'm calling back again. This is Marlene. I'm listening to the show, and I'm really impressed with the comments that are being made, and I feel as though the Holy Spirit is really moving. And I realize that there are so many people out there who are misinformed. And I just want to share, like you are sharing, from the Bible, one of my favorite quotes that I've often used, found in Hosea 4:6, says that my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. And because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God. I will also forget thy children.
Amen.
You know, it is so sad when we determine in our minds that we are going to take man's opinion over God because we love sin. Hmm. We love what we're doing so much. We love our jobs. We love the money that comes in from these careers that we have built up, you know. We love our homes. We love temporal things so much that we put at stake our lives, not only our lives, but the lives of our children. That's what it says here in the text. I will also forget thy children. So we are suffering as a nation and as a people because we have rejected God's laws.
Amen.
And when we reject God's laws, God don't like ugly. He don't like sin. And I think it really bothers him and it hurts him. You know, the Bible says he wept. He weeps. Christ weeps for us because we choose to go our own way. We choose Satan's way, the easier path, the broad way, rather than the narrow way. Because in choosing the narrow way, what happens is this. We may lose our job. We may lose all the respect that people may have for us. We may lose that. We may lose sight of temporal things, maybe a fancy car, a nice office, you know. But look at it this way. When we decide to follow the Bible and the Bible only, and we choose not to listen to our leaders, our pastors, our fathers, our bishops, and their opinions, then we know that we are on God's side. And if we may not have the temporal things that we love so much here and now, but we must remember that the Bible promises that, what does it say in John chapter 14, verse 1 to 3? Let not your hearts be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. And if it were not so, I wouldn't have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, what he says? I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. So he's preparing a beautiful mansion for us. So we may not get our reward here on this earth. And that's what I would like to share with you young men who are on the radio tonight. My brothers, Paul, Julian, and I think the other young man has arrived.
Renrick.
You know, Renrick. Good night, Renrick. You know, God, the reward will not come here. You will be condemned over and over again, no matter where you go. And no matter what you do, you are going to be condemned, and people will not like you. Mm-hmm. And you must not ever expect people to like you, and don't even look for that. Because, okay, you see, you are standing for right, though the heavens fall.
Thank you very much,
Marlene. You're all around us, and I'm going to wrap up. I know your time is going, and mine is going,
we have
all the way to Long Island. You know, all around us, we have signs that are telling that Jesus is coming really soon.
Thank you very much.
And people are just so wrapped up with the cares of this life that they have no concern whether they are lost or they're saved.
Amen.
But I believe tonight that the Holy Spirit is moving throughout Nassau and wherever else this broadcast is being heard, because I'm hearing it all the way live here in New York City. I think that the Holy Spirit, I feel in my heart, the Holy Spirit is moving and he is using you. So don't be discouraged. Don't allow the hearsay tomorrow's newspaper headlines to change your perception on what you're sharing. And don't allow the pocket to do it either. Just keep on doing what you're doing and allow the Holy Spirit to continue to use you. God needs men like you who will stand up though the heavens fall. Just continue to be encouraged, Julian, Paul, and Renrick.
Have a beautiful evening. I will continue to listen live. We'll try to call at the end of the program to say goodnight to the Bahamian people. God bless.
Thank you very much, Sister Marlene. Ladies and gentlemen, you can join us here at our live call-in show. The Seventh-day Sabbath is a Saturday, Sunday, or any day. Our telephone numbers here in the studio tonight, 325-5403, 325-5404, or 325-4-5405. Or for those of you living in a family of islands and you want to call us toll-free, that is 1-242-300-8255. Now, there might be persons who might want to talk to us off the air or later on in the week, and you can reach us at 322-6273, or you can visit our website at www.turningpoint.org.
tpministries.org.
My bad. Or tpministries@hotmail.com is our email address if you need to reach us. Now we go to DC online too. Go ahead, DC. 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 DC.
DC is gone.
I guess DC just couldn't wait. But we have the phone lines are lit up right now, and we want to welcome Brother Renwick. We want to welcome Brother Renwick, even though he reached a little bit late. Brother Renwick, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Bahamas. Good afternoon, Brother Julian.
Okay. Line five, go ahead. Yes, sir? Yes, ma'am?
Hello.
Yes?
Hello.
Yes, sir. Yes. We can hear you.
We can hear you. Just speak. Don't listen to the radio. Just listen to us on the telephone. Go ahead.
Go to your next call.
Go ahead, caller.
About the Sabbath. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you now. Yes.
Yeah. Where is the origin of the Bible about the Sabbath keeping? What book you find that in?
In Genesis chapter 2, verse 1 to 3.
In Genesis chapter who?
2, verse 1, 2 and 3.
2, 3. Okay, another question. Where was the Bahamas, or where was the Western Hemisphere, or when this information was given? Where was these nations?
When the Sabbath was given?
Yeah.
It was right here where it is now, but no one was living here.
Where were the Western nations?
All the nations that exist on the face of the earth was here when God pronounced the Sabbath day or the seventh day.
But okay, tell us about the forming of the nation, be it Europe, be it America, be it the Bahamas. What would history tell us about when these nations was formed?
You tell us, because I really feel they were all here based on the Bible account. There were no population here. When God made the Sabbath day, there were only two people alive on the earth based on the Bible account. Adam and Eve.
You said that they were here.
When he made the Sabbath day, they were here. They were created on the sixth day.
But did the Exodus account give us a more clear picture of what God was saying? But what I'm really concerned about, you are denying certain people their rights, whether you realize it or not.
How is that so, sir?
Because you are demanding, or your organization are demanding that people follow what you are demanding.
Excuse me, sir. Turning Point has been on the air for over 4 years now, and everything that we have said on this on our radio program is we tell people to go and study to see if what we say. Let me finish. If to see what we are saying, is it the truth? We have persons who have called us off the air, pastors and lay people, who we have sat down with, and we...
Okay.
Hold on, sir, let me let you talk.
Okay.
We are not demanding that nobody changes anything.
All right.
We are saying, this is the truth. This is the way.
Right.
Walk ye in it.
And if it's not, then sit us down and show us, and we go the next way.
All right, let me ask you another question. Rich man on the face of the earth, right now, do you know could keep all the Ten Commandments rules where the Sabbath day keeping came out of? Which man?
All those who are rooted and grounded in Jesus Christ.
Pardon?
Listen to the text. I'm quoting you now, Romans chapter 8, verse 3 and 4. The Apostle Paul says, and in Romans 8, 3 and 4, he says, I'm going to quote a few right now. Romans chapter 8.
The Apostle Paul was God's agent, right?
Romans chapter 8, verse 3 and 4. I'll quote it to you now. For what the law could not do, the Apostle Paul says, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sent his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemning sin in the flesh. Listen carefully now, that the righteous of his law might be fulfilling you and I tonight, who walks not after the flesh, but after the Holy Spirit of God.
He said he sent his son?
That's what
you said?
That's what the Bible says.
The Bible also said that he said that if you offend in anyone, you are guilty of all.
Amen.
I still want to know right now, which man on the face of the earth right now you know, or anybody know, who is able to keep the entire Ten Commandments, because Christ himself saying, if you are offended, if you are wrong in one, you are guilty of all.
I have a question for you just before Brother Julia make a statement to you. What sin do you know you commit every day?
Pardon?
You mind telling the nation? What sin do you are you guilty of committing every day?
I was born in sin. I was shaping in iniquity.
No, the question is not what nature you are born with.
The question is not
what nature you and I are born with. The question is, is there a power existing in the world to hold that nature in check?
Listen to me. We have been offered, we have a mediator because of our sinful nature. We left ourselves, we can do absolutely, totally nothing good.
When
we believe, we are doing something good.
We've been preaching it now for 4 years. Left to ourselves, and that's why the Apostle Paul said, once we walk in the Spirit, we will not.
Anyway, let's get back to the Sabbath.
Hold on, brother. We have other callers, and we'd love to talk to you.
Be fair to me.
No, I'm gonna let you. Hold on.
We can let you talk.
I can let you have your last say. I don't have no problems with that. But see, watch this. You have a Bible with you, right?
Pardon?
Do you have a Bible with you?
I like to take notes for right now.
Okay. When you go home, after the program, after 10 o'clock tonight, and just before you probably go to bed, just read this text for me, please. 1 John, chapter 3, and read the whole chapter 3, but pay special attention on verses 8 and 9.
Right.
Okay, and then what I want you to do tomorrow is to give us a call at 322-6273.
322-6273.
No, 322.
Yeah, all right, now let me.
Hold on. 322-6273. You got that?
Right.
Okay. Now, what's your comment?
What I was saying, right? History. You cannot exclude God out of history.
Amen.
Okay. You cannot exclude God out of history. And in 313, Constantine, his daddy reject an edict that would continue to oppress the Christians. That's why he's saying you are denying us. This is really a rehash of what Constantine was stood for. Here is what he said in 313. Listen, I want you to listen good. We resolve to grant both to Christians and to all men freedom to follow the religion which they choose.
Amen.
And we decree. And we decree still further in regards to Christians that their place in which they were formerly accustomed to assemble shall be restored to the said Christians without demanding money or any equivalent, with no delay or hesitation. For by this means, the divine favor towards us, which we have already experienced in many matters, will continue. Sure, throughout all time. Listen to me, and I want you to listen to me good. God works through men. He is working through men now, this day. You understand me? Some things he said in the Bible, I wouldn't deny it. But he had a personal relationship with Israel. Israel reject him. So God is doing something now through another body of people called the church. And we cannot hold to the old teaching and the old principles and the old practices when God is doing a new thing. Listen to me and listen to me good. Which man on the face of the earth that you know today raised from the dead and send it to heaven? There's only one I know, and that means there is a new thing coming and will be manifest. So this Sabbath day keeping, It's something from the past that a lot of people are being trapped and being misled by. God is doing a new thing, and you need to get in touch with it.
Father, only weak thing we could tell you is study it through, and you will see that would be sharing with you tonight.
Yeah,
it's true.
I would like to hold you because you accuse us
of trying to force the will of God upon the people. And if you go back to when we first started the show,
brother, if you have a clear conscience and you bring history involved, you hold into the Bible alone. We talking something. Genesis was written what? In almost a couple hundred years BC before Christ. You are holding to the past. It's the past that is captivating us. You understand me? It's the things of the past that are holding us from embracing the glorious work that Christ did for the present.
Okay, brother. Thanks for your call. You and your family have a wonderful night.
Thanks very much for calling.